Oh, welcome. And again, I offer a welcome back to those of you who've been on the call. It was so lovely to hear from Carol about her experience of doing the sun salutation spontaneously. And that's really the way that this work comes into our bodies and our lives over time, is we're able to feel and sense the power of it, and it just takes us. Like when we're in those difficult situations, we don't have to think about them in any capacity. We just simply enter into the moment and the practices that we've embodied, the sankalpas and the intentions that we've set for ourselves just simply arise. And that's what this is so deeply and completely all about. So as we enter in today, we are in week number 6. We are in day 36, and this is touchstone number 5, align with nature. And as we come together, I offer that this 36th day be your first day again. So tomorrow actually rolls us into the second of the 3 equal parts of the training. So this pilgrimage has 108 days, and 36 times 3 is 108. And so as we come together today, we recognize that we're really always returning to that place where our heart and our eyes and our hands, in terms of the way that we serve on the planet, are those of a baby in mama's arms. And we allow our lives to really carry us and to teach us. And in this way, we can let go of our stories, let go of the black and white of life, and just see if we're able to really be here as we are standing in this, what I like to call, what my teacher has described as the sacred gray. And so we come again, as we have in weeks prior, to the student-teacher prayer. And this student-teacher prayer is, again, where we just awaken ourselves to the brilliant, and we let go of black and white, we let go of rights and wrongs, and we just look for the intended meaning, we look for the grace and the joy and the light that's available in all things at all times. So we can sit tall and allow our spines to be vertical. We send the breath down and out the body and release any holding that we have, even if we don't know what it might be. This is the way in which that we surrender. Not to any person or personality, but to that high and mighty possibility that this life that we are living is a seed of a potential that is so much greater than we could ever, ever dream, ever imagine. And so in this way, we come together and chant together, sending the breath down and out the body, exhaling, inhaling to the crown of the head. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitam Astu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Every time I chant that mantra, I am reminded again and again of just the power of moving sound. For sound connects us to the highest of the elements, to ether, to space, which we'll talk about today. And space also represents that aspect of creation from which all things come. It truly is the mystery. It's the powerful unknown that is untouchable. It's unseeable. It's unprovable. It's indescribable in so many ways. And as we move into these elements, I offer again just a brief review of the first five touchstones. And this is a beautiful time to reflect and really recapitulate. Send yourself back to where you have come from in these past 35 days. Send yourself back and remember the first week of embarking, getting your journal and coming together and being prepared and excited. And bring that excitement again, that beginner's mind, that first day, love and acceptance of yourself and anticipation, sweet anticipation for the journey with you into this moment. And then we moved through the first five touchstones, the first being move my body, the second being purify this vessel. Touchstone number three is join conscious community, remembering that it's really our consciousness rubbing up against those that are conscious, surrounding ourselves with people and life experiences and choices that are conscious, that are awake, and that raise us up. And the fourth touchstone is finding sacred space. And I love that word, find, because it's here. It's just like, I know my keys are here somewhere, and we find them. So finding sacred space. And then this fifth touchstone today is aligning with nature. Week six, touchstone number five, aligning with nature. The five elements is what we'll be focusing on this week. And I offer that we often look at nature and look at the elements of nature, look what's going on outside of our lives, outside of our own bodies, as truly separate. And this touchstone is really about recognizing that the environment outside of us is also the environment within us. And that the truth of it is that we are made up of the same elements that exist in and through all of nature. And through the lens of yoga and Ayurveda, the sister science to yoga, there are five elements. But I offer that it's just a different look than, say, Chinese medicine, for example, where the elements might have a little bit of a different interpretation. So not to get caught up in that necessarily. Or what about this element or that element? Maybe not so much. Just presume that through this lens that everything in creation exists and it just happens to be placed into these five elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space or ether. And when we look outside and we see the trees budding or the wind blowing or the snow falling, or in our case here in the Pacific Northwest, the leaves changing, these are all physical manifestations of the relationships between the five elements and how they dance together and interplay. And that so too are we within our bodies, our minds, our emotions, and our dharma, our path, the way in which that we walk this earth, is also completely part and parcel of this journey of these five elements. So this week is about aligning with that, really paying attention to that. Because other than the clothes that we wear to suit the weather outside, we really seldom consider the elements as having an impact on our day-to-day choices. It's not very common that we consider the weather when we select our food or our sleep patterns or our yoga practice or the clothes we wear or the oil that we choose, the music we listen to. I mean, it can get so deep. The gemstones that we choose to put on our body, the type of metal. Do I wear brass? Do I wear copper? Do I wear gold? Do I wear silver? Which finger on which do I wear it? Like, we won't get into so many of those details, but it is truly endless. Instead, we set our alarm clock. We wake up when it's time to get the kids to school or go to work, and we don't even really consider resting so much when the cycle of the moon is at rest. Or we wonder, maybe as the seasons change, how we might feel erratic or we might feel exhausted. But we don't really go into anything more than that. We often just say, oh, I feel really tired, or I feel really wiped out. But we don't necessarily feel as though we can do something about it. And the truth of it is that we are made up of these five elements. And there is weather outside and there is weather inside. And these elements that exist in and through all of nature and affect our natural surroundings also exist in every cell of our body and affect our internal landscapes. And so when we look at being on a pilgrimage, we want to pay attention to what the weather patterns are outside so we can then make choices within our own bodies and within our own experiences if we're feeling out of balance. So today we'll look at those five elements and look at what they look like when they're in balance and look at what they look like when they're out of balance. So I want to circle back here to sacred gray. And sacred gray is that combination of black and white, really. And the black, when you go to Bali or you go to India, there's often this black and white gingham tapestry that's seen in the temples, a black and white checker. And this is symbolic of black and white in life. It's symbolic of new moon and full moon, summer and winter, Ida and Pingala, or moon energy, sun energy, parasympathetic nervous system function, and sympathetic nervous system function. So it's a part of all of this. And so black, we can call the feminine. And we call it the feminine because it's more mysterious. It's soothing and it's dark. It's negative, but not in a negative sort of way, not in a offensive sort of way, but negative like two ends of a magnet, two sides of a magnet. It is magnetic. It's drawing in. The nature of the divine feminine is this womb-like, nurturing, nourishing winter, soothing, cooling, rejuvenating quality. And the white is the masculine. It's the warm, stimulating, light, circulating. The season would be summer. It's very productive and radiant and penetrating. We might even say that it's quite charismatic. That's a word we often use with the masculine gender. And so this masculine energy is the positive side of the magnet. And even this, we see through, especially if we're in a Western culture, which I believe most of us are in a patriarchal culture who are on the call, not all of us, but most of us are, we really have an affinity for the masculine. Go west, young man. Get her done. be productive, go out there and get them, tiger, right? Very masculine, very penetrating, very productive. We often make apologies for not getting a lot done, and we feel very full of ourselves. And I don't mean that negatively, I mean it in the true sense, full of ourselves when we're productive. So there's an affinity toward the masculine. And yet in all of nature, there's a balance. This sweet, fine balance between black and white, between masculine and feminine. So the divine feminine is attractive and magnetic. And the divine feminine is magnetic and attractive. The divine masculine is penetrating and radiant. So what does this have to do really with the elements? We want to be in that sacred gray and recognize that all of the elements have a gender charge to them, but and that gender charge is not, man or woman. It's just the qualities of those energetics. And the sacred gray is recognizing that we are a soup, cosmic soup made of all of these elements. So they're all at play all the time. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So, remembering again, recalling that everything comes from the subtle, moves into the gross, and returns to the subtle, right? Even us, we come from that mystery where your existence, my existence, was only distinguishable by a test that showed that there was a hormonal change in the body. Oh, your mother's carrying a child. But we can't see the child. It's very, very subtle. It's unseeable. It's not tangible, like space. And then space moves to air. And we cannot see air, but we can see fire, water, and earth being affected by air. So air is ultimately space in motion. This will make sense as we go, I promise, if it's feeling esoteric or out there. It is out there. It's very spacious. And then fire is where we recognize a temperature change. We move into this physical form. We have digestion. We have metabolism. We have catabolism. We have body temperature that's separate from the space around us and different from the elements around us. And we're very much so filled with fluids, the waters of the earth, the rains, the rivers. Those are in our bodies. And it's no mystery that what we carry in our bodies in terms of a relative percentage of liquid to mass is the same as the planet carries in terms of a relative percentage of liquid to mass. So we're like mini planets, little ecosystems within our own bodies. And then earth, bones, muscles, the structure within our physical form. And then as we begin to leave our bodies, as we get older, or unless we're catapulted rapidly and we can't even see how quickly we move through those changes, again, we see that we move from physical form. And we slowly lose our musculature and our strength. The waters begin to disintegrate. The fire begins to go away. The body temperature cannot be maintained. Digestion cannot be maintained. Movement starts to move away. It leaves us, and then we return to space. So from subtle to gross to subtle, which means from ether through air, fire, water, and earth, and back again from earth to water, fire, air, and ether. And I use ether and space interchangeably. So we often live in this vacuum of feeling like we're very separate from the outside world. But when we wake up and say, oh, this is happening in nature right now, how's that going to affect what I choose to eat? How's that going to affect my yoga practice? How's that going to affect what I do with my body today, energetically, physically, mentally, emotionally? It makes a significant difference. I also offer that we are of this natural world. Like we don't live on the earth, we live in the earth. So the clouds and the atmosphere contain the space on which we stand, on which we walk, the earth on which we walk. So we are living in this earth, not quite as we've thought to be living on this earth. And these elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, none are better than another. They're all present. They're all in all of us at all times. And we can balance our internal environment based upon the practice of svadhyaya, self-study. And so it's a bit of a cognitive shift, really. So we're going to go through these elements, and I'm going to offer to you that today, if you would like to pose a question, if something comes up for you, you may offer that question or ask that question in a couple of different ways. So one way you can do that is to send me an email. And that will be brit@britbsteel.com. And the other way in which you can offer up a question would be to send a text message to Lauren Trank, and her phone number is 503-481-2392, and then I'll be able to check in with Lauren at the end of the call to ask her which questions have come in, and then we'll be able to address those questions in that way, or comments. So that's a great way we can do that. Otherwise, emailing after, and I'll make sure that all questions and answers that are appropriate to be made public will be made public. So we'll move through these elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether, to understand them a bit more clearly. So we'll start with earth because this is the most familiar to us. This is the energy of the planet. This is what we can see. It's what's tangible. And it is what's form. So in our physical bodies, earth is bone, mass, muscle, anything we can see or hold onto or move through space. This is earth element. And when earth is in balance, it's grounded and stable and rooted. It's steady and solid and cool. Think about the way a puppy kind of sprawls his legs back and when the hot summer and lays its belly on the soil, or pigs in the mud, how they get really into that cool wetness. It's relaxed. It's nourishing and it's nurturing, right? It's the place from which our vegetables are grown. So when we look out in nature, we see the same thing. We see stability, the earth is stable. The earth is where other elements are rooted into. We see the steadiness and its solidity, and we see how it nourishes and nurtures plants, for example, which then in turn nurture and nourish us. So we can look out and see it. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, this is a very earthy place as far as a climate goes. When Earth is out of balance, however, and we'll look at this both in terms of the physicality of our bodies and our emotions and mental energies, we feel stuck. We feel depressed, thick, heavy, dull, slow, stubborn, weighed down. And curiously, even the fun stuff can feel like a burden. We feel burdened. So, earth element is incredibly powerful and necessary in our lives, for it grounds us, it keeps us rooted. It reminds us who and what we are in this physical form. It connects us to worldly things and worldly existence, which living in the world is necessary. It's part of this. But when it falls out of balance, and generally speaking, when I speak to being out of balance, it will mean an excess. Most of the time when we talk through the lens of yoga about the elements being out of balance, it's because there's too much of that element. If there's not enough, it's actually an indication of too much of one of the other elements, since all of these five elements make up all of creation in our bodies, minds, and hearts. So earth is super important, but when it's out of balance, we just don't move. And in our physical form, we experience things like edema, weight gain. Energetically or emotionally, we start to hoard and hold on and become possessive. We grow to have an aversion to change. So just try those on within yourself. Some of us are going to say, "This I resonate with this and this and this quality in this element. These qualities resonate with me. I feel very balanced. I feel out of balance." And no storyline, no judgment. Sacred gray, just watching. Earth element in Sanskrit is called prithvi. And it's a feminine quality. It's a masculine quality. Excuse me, I'm turning myself around. Earth element. So we feel and sense that deep connection. Then we move to water. In Sanskrit, we call water jala or apa, and it's feminine. So earth is the root chakra, for those of you who have that background. As we move into the water element, that second chakra, that's feminine. More feminine qualities. Water, when it is in balance, has all of the qualities of water. It's fluid. It's juicy. Again, it's nourishing. It can move freely without getting stuck. Our skin is healthy and our joints are supple, and we can easily shapeshift, and we can easily take many forms. Another nice thing about water when it's in balance is we can move quickly when life requests that. like after the rains when the river starts to run fast. And we can feel very comfortable floating in stillness and quietude. We can shapeshift and connect and see connections, form bonds, feminine, relational. We're looking for how things are connected. We can go with the flow when we're in balance. When water is out of balance, we lack boundaries. We might feel overwhelmed or like we're drowning emotionally, physically. Oh, I have so much to do. There's so much. I can't make any decisions. I just feel like I'm drowning. I can't keep my head above water. Some of the languaging we use. It feels chaotic and torrid and unpredictable. Like we don't really know what's going to happen. Could flow really fast and wipe us out. Or the water could stop. The movement could stop. We have a hard time holding ourselves together and holding our life together. We're boundaryless. We sort of overflow into all circumstances, onto others. So when we look at water, we're looking at really simply, how do I go with the flow? Do I go with the flow? Do my joints feel well lubricated and juicy? Do I feel like my neural synapses are happening quickly, but I'm still grounded? I'm finishing sentences, I'm able to manage, I'm clear, rooted, stable. So this is water. Fire. When fire is in balance, it's warm and clear and bright. It's brilliant, sharp. Oh, she's sharp. He's sharp. That was quick, right? Like a spark. Ideas come easily, comebacks come quickly. We are light. And in that lightness, we attract others to us, for we illuminate their brilliance. Like a moth to a flame or a moth to a light. So fire has beautiful qualities. We experience people who have fire active in their lives and in their bodies and in their whole beings as very warm, funny, brilliant, good orators, good leaders. And then when fire is out of balance, we might experience that same person, or we might be that same person who's erratic, too hot to handle, sharp, a little acidic, again unpredictable, maybe sharp-tongued, judgmental, intolerant. And we might have seen in someone or in ourselves where others keep their distance or we keep our distance from another to avoid getting burned. It's just too much heat. Just like standing too close to the fire. Maybe it's just perfectly warm, feels great, and then all of a sudden a spark flies and hits you. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? That's fire out of balance. Then air. Air in balance. When air is in balance, it's mobile. It's uplifted. Inspiring. Unlimited. It's light. When we are in balance with air, we might see the unseen. We might see the potential and the possibility. In our mind, we might have visions of the future. And we realize that there's so much more than the obvious. Like, air is out there just doing its thing out the window. It's just doing its thing. And you know how powerful it is when it catches a tent, or when we see footage of a very large wind-based storm coming off of the water often. We see the power of wind when there are fires. So that's air in balance. Maybe just inspired is what awakens us first. We feel light. Unlimited. We're not locked down. We're not stuck. We're not depressed. We don't feel heavy. But when air is out of balance, we feel windy, agitated, ungrounded. It shows up as nervousness or anxiety. We become overactive. Overstimulated and overstimulating. We talk too much. We interrupt. We whip back and forth. This is a big one. We whip back and forth when air is out of balance between it being all about me and all about you. And what I mean by that, and it's not really all about you. That's sort of even a misnomer within itself. For when it's all about me, I'm just spinning in my head thinking about what I did wrong, how I did it, da-da-da-docs. There's anxiety, there's worry. Did I do this right? How do I handle this? How do I fix that? Did I say the right thing? Was I helpful enough? Did I do that right? I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And then we spin out and help other people, do stuff for other people, go out, go out, go out, go out, go out. Busy, 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 out there, out there, out there. And we think it's all about them, but that's just on the surface, because it's really about us, because we're feeling ungrounded, unrooted, and feel as though we need to do that to have a sense of self, when that sense of self doesn't come from out there, it comes from within. And I think this is a big woman's concern in life. And again, air is more feminine. So earth is masculine, water is feminine, fire is masculine, air is feminine. Again, watch yourself here. Be in the sacred gray. Practice Svadhyaya. Oh, she's talking about me. Maybe, maybe not. I am certainly talking about myself. So finding this balance in this way. And then there is ether, space, from which all things come and to which all things return. So this is being grounded and aspirational at the same time. This is the masculine and the feminine in balance, because both exist. All exists. It's from which all things have come, to which all things return. So when ether or space is in balance, we feel connected to life as it is, and we are also fully connected to so much more, to what we can't see. We're deeply connected to higher thinking and higher living, and we're still grounded right here, right now. spiritual seekers tend to be tapped into and have a quite the connection to ether and ether space. Cosmic. It's macrocosmic and microcosmic. It's what's happening in our bodies within a cell, and it's what's happening in a galaxy. The same movements, the same way in which that an electron circles around the nucleus of a cell is the same as what, say, same way in which that the planets circle around the sun. Tinier than the tiniest, bigger than the biggest. But when ether is out of balance, when we're out of touch, we might find ourselves wanting to leave the body in difficult times. Now, I don't mean commit suicide necessarily. That's not it. Just this sense of like, oh, this is just too much. I just want to go. I want to check out, catapult myself out. Feel disconnected from worldly foundations. We just don't care about anything. And it's my sense that when someone we love dies, someone very close to us dies, and we don't care about eating, when someone doesn't care about eating and doesn't care about paying the bills and all these things that like keep us stable and rooted and grounded are just so mundane. So in that moment, although we're still on the earth, we are really tapped in energetically to not being on the earth because a close loved one of ours has left. So this is ether or space. So we can see these in all of nature, right? We can look out into the universe and we can say, or I can look out my window and I can say, where's the earth? What do I see that's earth? Where is the form, the physical form? So for me, living out in the forest, this is very earthy compared to where I lived in Arizona, which was very airy. So you can look out your window and notice. And then you can look at the seasons and say, okay, what's going on? Is it dry and windy? Hot, dry, and windy? Is there a lot of fire and air active? Or is it earth and watery? It's rainy and muddy, like it gets here in the winter. Seasonal affect disorder, which we call through allopathy, Western medicine, is earth and water out of balance, in excess. So how do we treat that? We go to the other end of the spectrum and we bring in more air and more fire. We go for walks, we go for hikes, we bring in lighter foods. We pray, we sing, we dance, we awaken the energies. So we look outside and we look at the elements. We look, where is there fire? In the summer when it gets really hot, how do we cool ourselves with our diet? This is Ayurveda. Just slowly bringing in cooling foods. Now I'll be sending you three different charts that will address energies out of balance and energies in balance. Elements out of balance and elements in balance. So bringing this home, bringing it practically, I offer that every day when you wake up, check in with the elements and say, what's going on outside and what's going on inside? What's the weather like outside? And what's the weather inside? If the weather outside is frightful, then make the weather inside delightful. So we balance, huh? This is how this works. So there's a homework this week around this. We are in the beginning exploration of this. And that homework is to post in the forum and journal if you're not on the forum and look at yourself through these five elements. What do you see? And if you want, if you post a picture, a selfie of you, if you want, you can solicit and I will tell you what I see. So instead of it coming through the lens of, oh, you have such beautiful, long, dark hair, and oh, your eyebrows are so thick, and your eyes are so beautiful, instead of through the lens of these judgments of, oh, you're so beautiful, or, oh, ick, you look, are you sick? Right? Instead of looking through those lenses of right and wrong and black and white, we look at ourselves through the lens of the elements. I look at myself in the mirror, and I say, do I look dry today? Or do I look heavy? Do I have saggy bags beneath my eyes, feeling heavy? Do I look puffy when I slide my ring on in the morning? Too much earth, too heavy? What did I eat last night? What's going on outside? Have I had enough movement in my body? Have I had enough water? Because water can loosen up in those early stages, that heaviness of the earth. So you can post a picture of yourself, a selfie, in the forum or on the or journal about it, and look at yourself through those five elements. What do you see? Sort of project around the colors of what you see as well. And if you solicit, if you ask, and only if you ask, I will also tell you what I see through the elements. So we have a constitution, let's just say. We have a way of being that's natural to us. So in yoga and in Ayurveda, these elements combine into what are called your constitution or your dosha. So when earth and water are together and your constitution is predominantly earth and water, this is called kapha. K-A-P-H-A. When water and fire are together, this is called pitta. And when air and ether are together, this is called vata. Now, why is this important? Because we can look at these combinations of energies, draw upon our awareness of these combinations of energies of earth and water, of water and fire, which feels just like fire, and then of air and ether as combination. We can look at these and we can look at our bodies and we can say, am I seeing fire? Am I seeing air? Or am I seeing earth? Really? Do I feel stuck and heavy and thick and dull and puffy? Do I feel red and inflamed? Broken blood vessels, maybe? Extra red color in the face? Rosacea? Eczema? Psoriasis? Anything that relates to inflammation is high fire, high pitta. Anything that relates to high phlegm or puffiness or edema is high kapha or high earth. And then anything, this is a tricky one, anything that relates to pain in the body, cracking in the joints, is high vata, high wind. Dry, cracky. Nervous system effect is high vata. So I know this is a lot of information, but I offer that we're really just looking outside at the elements, and then we're looking inside at our bodies. And we're saying, okay, what's happening outside with the earth? It's heavy and dark. Do I feel heavy and dark? Qualify what you see out the window, and then bring it into your body. Sense it. Experience it in that way. And then shift it. How do I shift it? I bring in the opposite. It's really not rocket science. It's quite simple. So in other words, heavy foods are things that are slow cooked, lots of butter, lots of cream. Things that make you heavy are heavy foods. Things that make you light are light foods. Cooling foods. There's some kind of unknowns in there that get a little tricky. Like a cucumber, because it's so wet, is actually heavy. Mango, heavy. Banana, heavy. Whereas apple is light, dry, crisp. Lettuce, light, dry, crisp. I feel very, very hot. How do I cool myself? Things that are particularly heating are things like alcohol, coffee, foods that are bitter or sour, yogurt, fermented food and drink. And so when we feel very lightheaded or out of balance in that way, very ungrounded, nervous, anxious, overactive, talking too much, interrupting, etc., etc., we must ground in order to balance that. Or we stay out of balance, windy, agitated, ungrounded, nervous, anxious, losing weight too quickly, overactive, talking too much, interrupting, yada, yada, yada. All that happens that way. Or we ground. Eat avocado, eat oatmeal, warm, heavy soup. So taking a selfie, posting in the forum, journaling about it, looking at yourself through these five elements, what is it you see? I will tell you what I see as well, if you solicit. Look at your diet. Look at your activities, the choices that you make, the subtle choices that you make. If I feel heavy and stuck, then I move. I bring in something that is going to inspire me, feel light, be mobile, uplifting, awakening, active. But if I already feel agitated, ungrounding, nervous or anxious, then I want to root. I want to have a slow, steady practice, not too much overactivity. And sometimes that can be a little bit uncomfortable in the beginning too, and that's okay, just knowing that that's the case. So this is our content. I want to share with you a closing poem by Hafez. You don't have to act crazy anymore. We all know you are good at that. Retire, my dear, from all the hard work you do of bringing pain to your sweet eyes. Look in a clear mountain mirror and see the beautiful ancient warrior and the divine elements you always carry inside. These elements infused the universe with sacred life so long ago, and are joined to you now, eternally, and join you eternally. with all of existence. Om. So this is Hafez. And as I might offer, if you have questions now, I do believe the best way for those questions to come in is by texting Lauren at 503-481-2392. In light of our quirky little internet challenge out here in the boonies, in the forest womb at the yoga farm. And Lauren, if you can press *6 and unmute yourself, that would be lovely.
Hi, Britt.
Hi, Lauren.
I'm excited for everybody to send their questions in.
Oh, nothing yet, huh?
Nothing yet.
Okay. And the other thing you can do, my friends, is you can press *6 yourselves and unmute yourself. See, I'm getting creative here. You can unmute yourself here on the phone line, and I'll just repeat the question to make sure that we get the recording of the question. So any questions about this, any thoughts, any observations within yourselves about, oh, this is where I know I fall out of balance, and can you give me some guidance about how to come back into balance in this way? Or I see my husband doing this, or I see my partner doing this, or I see I have a child like this, or how do I bring this into balance, or what does this mean? So if there's anything at all, *6, or you can text Lauren.
Hey, Britt, this is Lauren. I have a question.
Okay, Lauren.
I might as well start. I've worked a lot with being, when I get out of balance, which is quite often, but when I'm out of balance, and then I still... And I don't want to focus on the negative, but I see some of the negative qualities of the ones that I need more of. Is that possible? Or, like, for instance, I don't have very much of the earth qualities, and I try to bring more earth into my diet and into my routine. But some of the sluggishness and some of those things happen at the same time.
Oh, yes. So that's a great example. So in the beginning, and this is important for us to note, in the beginning, when we fall out of balance, so I know Lauren very well. Lauren is a very, she's got a lot of air. Lauren, you've spoken even on the forum about the challenges just in terms of being able to regularly keep weight on, that's where you fall out of balance, that you're very active, you're very... inspired and inspiring. You call yourself a cheerleader sometimes. And so even that language, right? Think about the movement of a cheerleader. They're like, yay, yay, woo-hoo-hoo. There's lots of, they're jumping, they're coming off the ground, they're flying through the air, they're raising energy, they're inspiring. So I say this so that others might know a little bit about you. And then I offer that what you're experiencing, and this is quite common, we become uncomfortable feeling the opposite when the opposite is necessary to get through it. So in the beginning, we feel like we want what is going to bring us into balance. But when we've been out of balance for 5 years, 10 years, 6 months, etc., over time, we crave what keeps us out of balance because we're so accustomed to the norm of being out of balance. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what I mean, and I can relate, right? I love being very, very mobile and active and getting things done and stimulated. And then when I feel, tired, and I have this whirlwind of things that I've committed to, or there's just things I really want to do, I might actually feel a little bit like I'm dying. Like I'm starting to, I just feel so thick and heavy, when what my body's really saying is slow down. And so I have to try it. I have to stay with it a little bit longer to really get the feel of that. because we get so accustomed to